we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast. We're back, two wins in a row, and I've got Neil Shah here with me. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. We've got two wins in a row, 2-1-0s on our way to the championship.
Absolutely, yes. I remember that joke earlier. We're going down. All right,
I couldn't lose that. Come on.
No, you're right. I'm going to take it as a positive. I know what you're talking about.
It's still funny two times, mate.
It's still funny. Absolutely. I also got James Johnson with me. How you doing, James?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Like I said earlier, shall I recycle my joke again, or should we leave it?
Yeah, do it. I can't even remember it.
Only 36 more points. There you go.
34.
Sorry. Oh, I've blown it.
See? No, I do think the worst teams in the league are a little bit better than they were last year. So you might be right. You know, it could be one of those high.
You're right. It's 36. 42 is safer.
Yeah. Up to the beautiful heights of 13. But it was looking terribly bleak, wasn't it, boys? I mean, 3 games in, we were... We had a terrible start to the season. All the excuses we know of that the manager put out, you know, the transfer window, the team or squad was in a massive transition. But at the same time, you know, you're prepared to play the first game of the season from the off. And we weren't prepared. There's no way, two ways about it. We just weren't prepared. We conceded 9 goals. I think we had, you know, the least amount of shots on target in those 3 games, and albeit 2 of those 3 games were against 2 sides that will probably finish in the top 3, it was the performances beyond just the results that was absolutely appalling, wasn't it? So, but we did in the Norwich game, which we'll briefly talk about, but we're really focusing on the Burnley game, see massive changes. James, just before we got cut off with our internet connection, so we're hoping it works this time. The main question I had for you was on the lineup was the surprise of the change in system from the start. And we know he did it against Norwich halfway through the game when we needed a goal or 60th minute. But this time he's decided to start with a 4-3-3. And my question to you is, do you see this being something that he continues to do in other games, or is it something that is there until someone like Granit Xhaka comes back, who's just been given a new contract?
Yeah. And again, like I said, that's the massive, massive question. And I just want to thank Neil for doing the Gabriel role there when I messed my joke up. He bailed me out like Gabriel bailed out again Ben White there. So yeah, cheers for that. No, for me, like I said, I thought it was quite a brave decision from him. You know, this is a guy that normally errs on the side of caution. I don't know if it's because he had no other choice or if this is what he actually wants going forward. So it'd be really interesting come Sunday to see what he actually does. Because he, like I said, he's got Granit Xhaka back. And, Granit Xhaka, for me, the win percentage since he's been here with him was 50%. Without him, it's 49. So, and it doesn't feel like a big 1% for, you know, people going about the 1%. I don't think it's the big 1% there. But, I was quite happy with the lineup when I saw it. I was very excited and I was quite confident going into this game. I mean, I know we talked earlier about how worrying Burnley can be, but we haven't lost there since 1973. They've only taken 1 point from the last 24 available to them, and they've only taken 1 from the last 21 available to them at home. So I was quietly confident that we'd get a result there.
Carry on.
Yeah, sorry. No, I mean, when you look at the first half and how we played up until when the goal went in, it's relying on that individual brilliance, because with all those players that you've got to struggle to create, I still think is a big, big problem, which obviously we're going to touch on a bit more.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah. Neil, what's your thoughts on this new lineup that we're seeing? You know, obviously big changes. He had to make changes, didn't he, against Norwich? I mean, it was just awful performances. But I think even I was surprised how many changes he made in terms of the right back coming straight in when he 36 hours off a flight, and And Ramsdale coming in straight away for Leno. I mean, what are your thoughts? Because it is, I mean, it is a really big amount of changes to make to a side. Wenger always used to say, if you make more than three changes to a side, even in a transfer window, that's almost too many. I mean, we're making five or six from one game to the next. But what are your thoughts over the last two games? Obviously, two wins, but what are your thoughts on the overall performances in this new look Arsenal?
Making five or six changes, he doesn't know what he's doing. That's what I'm stupid for. But anyway,
get back to that one. That.
I'll get smashed for that now. But anyway, because trust the process, two wins on the trot. What's the matter with you? Two goals in five games. Why? We're here.
He's going to do another Fantastic. Q&A tomorrow, apparently.
Right. To be fair, I am really happy with some of these changes. Ramsdale, he's number one for me already. I don't care what anyone says about Leno. He's our number one keeper. He looks authoritative. He looks commanding. He's vocal, which is something that James always was worried about with Leno. You see his reactions even at the end of the game when he was protecting Tierney, I think it was, at some point in the game as well. It's just everything about him. He's almost got captain leaderships already. You know, I just love everything about Ramsdale from what I've seen. I know it's early days, but I'll be very, very upset if he's not playing against Spurs at the weekend. I'll be devastated, to be honest, to that extent. That's how I feel. And Tommy, yeah, he's come into that role, as you said, 36 times off a flight. He hasn't done much wrong for me. I think he looks, again, another one with authority. He's big, he's strong, which is kind of unusual for a player in that position, but I know that he can also switch. He's a bit of a utility player as well. But I think he's great. He's strong. He looks confident on the ball. And to be fair, I could say the same about Tavares. I could say the same about Sambi, or I call him Simba. I think that the players that we've got in, I actually like the look of pretty much all of them. The only disappointment so far, which he hasn't got off and running for me, is Ben White. He did make a couple of good interceptions yesterday. I think, and that's because of the way the team had been set up. I quite like the fact that Partey was protecting the back four. I think that worked. I think apart from a couple of the mistakes that White made during the game, I think generally the defence looked pretty good to me. I think, well, better than it has done. The problem was going forward, further up the park, you know, the creativity, as you said earlier, and of course, if you've got no creativity midfield, it's harder for the attackers and the strikers, especially Aubameyang, who I just think is out of sorts. I just think he's just not with it at the moment. But I generally liked the way it was set up, and I love the fact that we've got Tommy and Ramsdale, and I think they have to be starters every single time now for me. I really believe that. I think we've found our right back. We've definitely found our goalkeeper, and it's about that foundation at the back that will help the rest of the team. Start with the foundation and then work your way up. But it is the creativity that's a little bit shocking when you know, as you said, we've got great players. But Saka, I think he's tired. I think he needs a rest.
Just on Saka, Neil, I want to go through almost every player really, because a lot of this stuff is refreshing and new to us, and the system's different, the players are different. So it's just, you know, whether we think, I'm not even really, obviously I am, but not really thinking about expectations as such for the season. I just want to see more of this team, if you like. But on Saka, do you think there's a sort of hangover from it was obviously such a good Euros for him, but also such a sort of mentally draining one with how it ended and the effect of that and you know, the online stuff that was terrible that we've spoken about in the past. Just it's a lot, isn't it, for anyone to sort of have from a tournament. It's almost like that, you know, almost in reverse, like David Beckham moment, you know, when he kicked out Simeone and he had all that. But he didn't have a fantastic tournament like Saka did he? But you know what I mean? In terms of that sort of, that the creation of a massive moment for a player at such a young age. Do you think it could be just a little bit of a hangover from that as well, a little bit?
Yeah, I'd be wrong to say he rose above it, and I think he has. He's done tremendously well the way he copes, because I think his performances haven't been bad. You've got to remember he plays at such a high level. If he has a dip, we're going to notice it. That's the thing with him. He's just so good. Even if he falls off by 5 or 10%, you're like, well, what's the matter with him today? You can't expect that from him every single game. I think there's a little bit of that, Jack, but I like to think that he's quite a strong character. I thought that the Rioris would really affect him, bless him, especially after all the abuse he got. But I think with that tweet that he came out with was fantastic. It was so good in retaliation to it. And I think he's been the consummate professional going forward. I think it will affect him slightly, but I think it's mainly fatigue. I mean, you've got to remember, he's played throughout the summer. He played very well, and he's come straight back in, and he's just off and running again. And I still feel that the weight of the team's on his shoulders. I still feel that way. And I think he just needs to be rested for a couple of games. I don't know if he's going to do that for the Spurs, or he just has him on the bench. I think that may be the way to go. Keep him on the bench for Spurs. He definitely can't play midweek. 100% he's got to be sat out of it. So
I actually called for him to be dropped for this game, actually. I think when James put his lineup up, I kind of said, I think he should probably rest Saka, actually, and find a way of doing that. And we've got enough in the front line for him to do that, I think. And I think what was wrong, even going back, is it was probably wrong to bring him on against Brentford. You know, that game was pretty much, I don't know, I think it might have been 2-0, maybe it was 1-0, but it was the timing of that was wrong. He hadn't had much training. And then also, I think it was wrong from Southgate to take him on that first international break. I really do. I don't think that was right either. I think, you know, there was no need in it, to be honest.
Do you two buy a lot in the fact as well that he's being played predominantly on the left now?
Yeah, I think him and Pepe should switch quite often, to be honest. Because I quite like how Pepe playing on the left simplifies his game quite a lot. And what I also like about that, by the way, is I feel like Saka is much better coming deep. Right, so Tomiyasu we already see it, he doesn't go bomb forward as much as Tierney. Yeah. So Saka is really one of the few players we've got that can do things on his own. Pepe gets you know, two to three players on him, and he does. And if he's deep, we want Pepe nearer the box, and he can do that when Tierney's bombing on beyond him. So I actually agree with you there. I think they should be switched quite a lot.
Because he's playing on the right for England, like you said, and even though I don't feel he should, but he's still getting man of the matches and assists and stuff. So he's performing in an England shirt. It's just, you know, okay, he got an assist from winning the free kick. And it was, you know, like you said, it was a bit of his own endeavour there to thrive and do something. And he got clattered, which, you know, it was Burnley. So
it's Burnley, yeah. Like, what are you talking about? I kicked him. What's the big deal? You know, it's rugby, isn't it? But Neil's right.
I like Pepe on the left. I actually like him. Yeah. It might be a bit of a crazy thing to say, but when he's played on the left, I think we've looked really good. Even when Willian was in the team, he made Willian look a little bit better playing on the left.
Well, that's how he got back into, after the Leeds debacle, we got sent off. The way he got back into the team was from playing left wing. We had no one to play out there. I think it was away at Southampton, and that's when he started really performing again, Pepe. And we'll get to Pepe in a little bit. But let's just start. Neil touched on it, James, and start a little bit back on Ben White. I don't want to start with... there's a lot of differing opinions on Ben White on this game. And I do think it's important to outline that just because even if you felt he didn't have a great game, it doesn't mean you think he's not a great player. We're judging everyone pretty fresh here, aren't we? And those people that say they watched Ben White for 3 years or whatever, okay, good luck to you. Sure you did. But you know, personally, I've not seen much of Ben White until he started in the Brentford game. And I started judging him from that moment. But unfortunately, like anyone, like Neil said, you know, when you come in with a 50 million price tag, there is a certain, like it was with Pepe, there's a certain level of expectancy that comes with that. Especially when you're a centre back for 50 million, which is not, you know, notoriously don't spend that money in that area. I thought, my personal opinion, I don't know what yours is, James. I thought he was, I mean, people have stats his aerial duels, and he comes out pretty good on this game. But duels that you win when no one's really challenging you, I'm not judging those. For me, I remember about twice in the first 15 minutes where he lost his man, and Barnes either ballooned it or Gabriel covered him. I remember on the 33rd minute, an unbelievable saving volley from Gabriel when Barnes took it down his chest. And what I loved about it was Tomiyasu was there to take it as well. It was, even if Gabriel didn't get to it, Tomiyasu had read the danger and like that. And I think they were bailing him out a lot. And then we can get to the on the ball stuff and the penalty stuff later. But what were your overall thoughts on Ben White's performance? I think he's a good footballer. I liked him a lot against Norwich. But what were your overall thoughts?
Yeah, like I said, you know, he's a good footballer. I think he's very tidy and neat. when he's got the time to do what he wants to do. And in this game, when I was watching him, the main thing I was saying when we were WhatsApping each other and everything else was, this guy wants about half an hour to do what Arteta said. You know, Arteta said, Liverpool have got Virgil van Dijk, who sprays those 60-yard passes to beat the press. I've got my one in Ben White. Now, I'm not comparing Ben White to Virgil van Dijk. The manager's done that. I don't think they're anywhere near comparable. Just look at the frame and the stature of the people. They're nowhere near the same. But one of the things that Ben White, I feel, suffers from is like you've said, one, the fee. And again, we've got a guy that everyone knows and can see is a very, very good centre-back, and he's running rings around in France again and getting mad at the matches and dropping sevens and eights and nines in all these games. I think that what people need to do is look at what we've got here. Don't look at what Saliba... I know it's hard to, but it's not his fault that Saliba is on loan. It was a bit like last season when Eddie Nketiah was playing and everyone's going, oh, he's stealing Balogun's minutes, and judging Nketiah. Okay, you know, it's quite right. He's not up to the standard that we expect or want, but you can't blame him for that. That's the manager. You know, the manager said, I'm not playing him because he hasn't signed his contract. Balogun then signed his contract and he still didn't play him. That's on the manager. That's not Eddie Nketiah's fault. So I think there's all those variables that Ben White has to deal with. But, you know, we saw in that Brentford game the game plan of how to deal with that guy. And Barnes and Wood, who Chris Wood, I think, is quite underrated. I actually think Chris Wood isn't that bad of a player. But Barnes is just a thug. And you knew them two. They're just going to bash him because that's what Ivan Toney did. And I can't remember who the other striker is. I think it's Ben. Begins with a B or something. I can't remember his name
at Brentford. No, yeah. Not Tony.
Yeah, but they just ragdolled him. And that was the same. That's the same game plan and everything. And I believe, I'm not saying, you know, get him on the old horse placenta and fill him out or whatever, but he's, you know, he's got to get a bit stronger and everything else. But like you said, he did have the boys to bail him out. He had the three in Ramsdale, Tomiyasu and Gabriel that really did help him. But you know, the big mistake that he did make is what we were told that he's the best at, which is playing out, or, you know, playing, you know, he's comfortable and playing the passes, but he played a suicide ball there. And again, Ramsdale bailed him out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't a pen for me. And I don't think it was for any of us.
I can't believe how long it took.
No.
I mean, I've said it for nearly two seasons now on here. That they own the footage. Like, they can show you so many different camera angles to what we even get. And I'm watching on my laptop and I can see the first time that's not a pen, but he has to watch it six or seven.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, and what I was actually very surprised, though, James, in fairness, that he had the sort of foresight and dropped his ego like many English referees do not do, and said, I made a mistake. And even though it took so long, you know, I mean, how many times have we seen that and gone, he's not going to overturn it because he's not going to admit any wrongdoing? And that's the biggest issue I have with basically English referees is there's no accountability. You can't question them. And no one on the field is willing to admit that they're wrong. So they just stick with their decision.
That's the thing that I've seen this season more than any, though, is you know, for me, they're quite the old boys club. So they don't like calling each other out because they're like, oh, you know, he could do my game next week where he's the VAR and he might show me up or whatever. And but no, this season, more than any, they're actually telling them to go to the monitor and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, I have made a clang of it. For me, I've always said that the VAR officials should be completely separate to the ones that are on the pitch. So you don't get any of that, you know, well, you know, we've all been in a gang together for ages. I'm like, they shouldn't even know who they are. They should just be completely independent people that do that side of referee. Like, you've got physical and then you've got video.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. It's been better so far this year, but let's see how it goes. But Just moving on to a little bit of us in an attacking sense, I'm going to come back to Tomiyasu and Ramsdale a little bit. A couple of things on Ramsdale, especially for you, James, after your initial thoughts on him. but don't worry, your initial thoughts on Leno were bang on. But Odegaard, Neil, I think Odegaard, ever since we got him on loan, I've loved Odegaard. I wanted him on loan but just as soon as the links came out, really. And I think I'm loving the new song for him, She's Electric from Oasis, by the way. We'll sing it out at the end. But I thought he was our best attacking player in this game, not just because of the goal. I just think he guides our play really well. And I think, I know, Neil, you, the last time we spoke to you, you were a little worried about him sort of inhibiting Smith Rowe's ability. And in fairness, you know, this could be one of those games that you maybe argue that, are we getting Smith Rowe on it enough, etc. Though I still don't think that's going to be the case personally. But I think Odegaard, out of all of our front four, will be the player that starts the most this season. I really do think that, because I think his technical ability is so good that we will literally have to, literally everything will go through him. And that's what I think it will be. I think it's a Wenger-like signing personally. But I just wondered, the one thing he's missing, like almost everyone in our front line, even Aubameyang is missing, is assists and goals. So it's so nice to see that early on in his Arsenal, well, true Arsenal career, him get that goal. Do you think he can be someone that's sort of hitting double figures in you know, goals / assists for us now? Because we need that. Ooh. We need that from
yeah, we do.
Somewhere, well, two places minimum probably, but and I'm really hoping he can be one of them. Do you think he can be?
He can, but it's about how, again, it's about how the manager sets them up and gets to what, I think it's all down to the setup really, and it's down to how we play. I think he can only do so much. I mean, even I think he even assisted the goal, which led to the free kick, didn't he? Initially, I think he made that pass to Saka when Saka ran on through so he played the through ball. So I'm sure it was him. So that's an example of what you said. He can open up things. He can create things. He can make things happen. But as for double figures, oh, of course, I'd love it. I'd love to see. I remember in our heyday, we'd have like double figures from three or four of our midfield players, as well as what the strikers was doing. And that's what we're missing. We're massively missing an array of goals from around the pitch. And I'm not just talking ones and twos. I'm talking the highs of, you know, getting up to double figures and even crossing that threshold. And that's where we are lacking. We had a serious deprivation of goals last season. I mean, our home record was atrocious for goals. Even this season, 5 games and 2 goals. It's unheard of as an Arsenal team. It's just ridiculous. So, yeah, we need that from players like Odegaard. I think I agree with you. He can. It depends on whether he's allowed to. That's the thing for me. And it all depends on that. I think he's a tremendous player as well. I think he can play two-footed as well, can't he, to a certain extent?
I think he's
strong on the left. Yeah. He's left-foot dominant. But I think he can. I think Martin Keown was saying something about that. I think it was Keown. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think he is both-footed. So he's a little bit of a Santies kind of player. Not quite to that level, but you know what I mean. But I like him. I think the fact that we got him says a lot as well. I think that the Arsenal wanted him for a long time. And we've got our man. And now it's just a question of utilising him to his strengths and allowing him to feature and play the way we should be playing and allowing all the rest of the players. I think it's still that, I still have that question mark about giving that the freedom to the players and that spontaneity and the creativity that they can allow to have the freedom to show on the pitch. And I still think Arteta does too much micromanaging. Just touching on Smith Rowe, I think you're right. I think now I've seen it where they can play together, which is great. I'm all for that. And I think Smith Rowe is still, I think he's a tremendous player for us. And I think he could become one of the greats. I just need him to work on his finishing. That's my only worry.
Talking about Aubameyang laid off to him and he just didn't get out of his feet, did he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think if he can master that, he's the complete player. But yes, I think that's what we need to work on. But Odegaard, I'm very happy with him. But is he going to get double figures? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There was that Smith Rowe chance in the first half, and that all come from Odegaard. Do you remember? He hit like a diagonal ball to Pepe, And I was just like, oh, blimey, he's picked that one out of, you know, thin air. And then Pepe fizzled round and Smith Rowe hit the one. It just went wide and over past Pope.
Yes.
It was the best move that we did the whole. I mean, it was party driving out, Odegaard, switch, Pepe cutting in. I was like, that's, you know, something like old school Arsenal.
Exactly, Jace, but we don't do enough of it. That's the thing. We used to do that in abundance in games, and we would absolutely decimate teams because of moves like that. Now we get that a fleeting one or two in the game. It's not enough.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the style that I think we need to go back to. And I think now with these players we can, because when I was there when we played Chelsea and Jorginho, Kovacic, and Mount, they're just going ping, 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 ping. And I know it was Mari and everything else. It was different, you know, it was a slightly different time, but it feels like ages ago when it really wasn't. But they were just taking the piss. And I'm like, I'd love Arsenal. We used to do this. We used to take the piss out of everybody. And that move there, I'm like, yeah, that's the tempo just slightly go up. But it's like you said, he's too much micromanaging, you know, he's trying to tell them what passes to make before they make them and everything else. And yeah, you know, like we keep saying, the handbrake and the shackles, just let them loose. I mean, he let them loose at West Brom, and okay, yeah, they were playing their under 23s and everything else, but we smashed the team. We smashed them 6-0. And for us who don't look like scoring in a brothel, that's quite impressive.
In fairness, I mean, in this game, while we only had 13 shots, 3 on target, which is nowhere near enough, we did get into those positions quite a lot. And I think the final ball was really poor.
Oh, like,
you remember
terrible.
Pepe's one in the second half, Aubameyang's one, I think it was to Smith Rowe, or no, it was to Pepe in the second half, where it was a simple pass and he's through on goal and he overplays it to his right foot. And just really simple stuff. And that part there, I guess, you know, is also on the players. But James, in order for us to touched on it, you know, 2 goals in 5 games. I mean, if you look back at the Wenger years when we finished in the top four, I mean, there isn't a season really that we score less than 70 goals.
No.
Even Emery's season, we scored 73 goals. Mm. Last season, we were somewhere between 50 and 55. We have to find a way in this team, and I think we've got some fantastic attacking options, of getting more than 15 to 20 goals than we did last season. And obviously the biggest concern, it's a damning indictment for this manager if you have a player like Aubameyang, and we'll get onto him now, is who is not scoring. He's scored everywhere he's gone. So there's only two arguments you can make with Aubameyang at this point. Either he's fallen off a cliff, which is possible, though it doesn't usually happen to elite strikers at 31. Well, he's 32 now, but 31 because last year. Doesn't usually happen. It might be a couple of years later, but it doesn't usually... Those central strikers that don't do a lot else other than score, they usually actually... If you look at Lewandowski and Ronaldo now, and they actually usually keep going. So I think it has to be a damning indictment on the manager if you're not getting goals out of a guy that scored everywhere he's been his whole career, 2 seasons in a row, James.
Yeah. I mean, I said it earlier, the way that he plays, I don't think he wants to be here. To me, he just looks like he's not interested. And that for me is worrying, because we're relying on this guy to literally bail us out. And I mean, you're surrounding him with, okay, exceptional youngsters, but we've got a plethora of wingers and stuff that, you know, we've got a nearly £80 million winger that we're playing as well. You know, it's not like he's surrounded by complete crap. He's got bags of players. I mean, Odegaard cost us, what was it, 30 mil?
Yeah.
You know, how much are you going to chuck to try, you know, we're laying the table. It's literally like, right, there's your knife and fork. All you got to do is, you know, finish your dinner. But we're just not getting him into those positions. But for me, like I said earlier, unless it's pinpoint precise service, he's not creating stuff on his own. And I just feel like he doesn't fight or battle anywhere near as much as he used to. And I think that's because he doesn't, like I said earlier, I don't think he wants to be there. I know Tierney got quite a bit of flack for how he played in this game, but in the first half, he ran his socks off. And, you know, he's playing all them crosses. And again, if that's the instruction and that's the way that Mikel Arteta wanted us to go, then I don't know why in the summer he didn't lay down a marker on a centre forward. You know, Tammy Abraham's the one that everyone says got away. But I'm like, if that was how you really wanted to go and really wanted to play, why are you still, you know, why are you still picking Aubameyang? Because he's never been that striker. And he's never played that way. I don't know. You know, we're being told that now they're looking at the data and the analytics of everything with a fine tooth comb. You know, Tomiyasu wasn't the first choice. It was at Emerson Royal. Edu was going, I want, and Arteta begged him, no, I want Tomiyasu, and he was
proved, same with Ramsdale as well,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, he was proved right. Yeah, and for me, if you're looking at it like that, then I don't know how you're looking at going, let's chuck 30,000 crosses a game in to a person who is arguably rubbish in the air.
Yeah. 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 You know, it is a little bit, I mean, obviously we need it though. I mean, we're saying it's concerned. We sound a bit of a downer, but we really need, and I'm sure we all think this.
Sunday, I hope he sets his alarm clock 2 hours before he needs to get up so he gets there on time. But we need a big one from him Sunday, especially if he's going to start, which I believe he probably will. I mean, we talked earlier about Lacazette's got 3 out of 4 in his last North London derbies, and he's a big player in the big game. But, you know, Aubameyang owes us, and you can best believe if he scores another tap-in like he did against Norwich, he's going to bring out that forward flip and everything else, and everyone's going to light him up again.
That's the thing with him. If he scores, this stuff doesn't come up because he's scoring. Mm. But if he doesn't score... You start to wonder what he's offering to us because he doesn't really offer a lot.
He just looks a waste. Like, yeah. Let's be brutally honest. He just looks a waste.
Yeah. And it's not just his footballing ability, James. It's, you know, outside of the box. Also, when we try, like, Odegaard is so good at pressing from the front, right? He really presses well. And so does Smith Rowe. They press really well from the front. But it's got to be a collective thing, obviously. It doesn't work. Aubameyang just doesn't do it, or he does it sporadically. Lacazette doesn't really have the fitness and energy to do it. So, like you said, I understand it's difficult to get these players off the books, but if he could go back in time, there's absolutely no way Mikel Arteta gives Aubameyang that contract because there's no plan for him. There's no plan for him. But if this was the plan for him, I mean, this is nothing like an Arteta striker. There's a lot of things I don't agree with about Arteta, but one thing I can say is this is literally the opposite of the profile of striker that he must be looking for. Like, he's got nothing of the attributes that he wants because it's not. It's just so clear and obvious. So that is worrying because we know there is another option, but obviously Lacazette last year of his contract, the likelihood of that player coming in and sort of, you know, is quite low. And I said at the start of the window, I think we all did, the concerns were either end of the pitch, Leno, because we didn't think anything was going to change there, and Aubameyang, because we didn't think anything was going to change there. Well, in fairness, we got one, or possibly that's looking really, really, really positive. So, but yeah, great goal. Unbelievable goal by Odegaard. Fantastic free kick. Really, really good to see. Great when we go 1-0 up. Even certainly for me, I feel so much more comfortable when we're 1-0 up under Mikel Arteta specifically. His record's really good when we go up. It's terrible when we go down.
We've only lost once when we've scored before half-time under Arteta.
Yeah, so, yeah, there you go. And you do feel comfortable, but... Yeah, we invited a hell of a lot of pressure in that second half. We made 3 defensive substitutions in Niles, Lokonga and Tavares. I thought all 3 of them did quite well when they came on. I do have a little concern about the type of substitutions we are making to invite that pressure. Do you think that's more to do with the fact that collectively we're in a position where you're just bound to get anxious towards the end of games because we're not used to winning and it's a new team? Or do you think this is also partly due to the manager's kind of the way he is, and he's going to try to hold a lead rather than continue to play?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there's a confidence issue still. We're bereft of it. We're still bereft of confidence. It's As I said earlier, I think the defence did well. I think there was like 35 crosses pinged in, and we dealt with most of them, you know, fairly good. So I think in that way, that was a positive in the game. I didn't think there was much else. We were poor in the second half, I believe, as well. I think we created much more, but it wasn't great, but it was better than the second for sure. And you're right, I think the substitutions probably didn't help, but I think it's not running. I don't think he's running scared. I wouldn't want to say that by any manager, but he really played, caution to the wind yesterday, or Saturday, sorry. And I just feel that he wanted to make sure that we got the win. And I think that's the reason why. And when we're not creating anything going forward, because of what we spoke about earlier, what do you do? And then the best policy is just to defend and sit tight on the lead that you've got and just protect it. And I think that's probably what he did. I think that was it. He didn't want to go all out and out to try and get a second or a third goal. I think it was simply a case of let's shut our shop now and just protect the lead, which is so unlike us. We've really evolved, should I say devolved, as a club from what we used to be. You know, I remember when we used to be 4-5 nil up when we were still going for it and 2 minutes to go, even in injury time. Do you remember those days? We just wouldn't give up. It's just so different now. And to be fair to Arteta, I don't think he's got much choice. We've got to get these points on the board. Doesn't matter how badly or how unattractive the football is. It's not great for the eye. It's not aesthetically pleasing. But we are not, beggars can't be choosers. You know, we're still languishing or teetering on the edge of relegation zone. We've got to fight our way up that table no matter what. I will take 10 1-0s on the trot. I really would at the moment. I don't care. I just want to make sure that the confidence reestablishes itself, the players start believing themselves a bit more, and we can then build on that. So for me, I wasn't surprised. And I think Arteta was just protecting the lead for me in this game.
Just sticking with you, Neil, in the last pod, James talked about the fact that we signed a lot of young players and the transition had been huge in terms of youngsters coming into the team and sort of senior players being pushed out. And not that we were against that, but we talked about, you know, leadership and where's it coming from. Were you really encouraged not only by the performances, but also by the leadership of like Gabriel and Ramsdale?
Immensely.
It was really good, wasn't it? It was really good, especially with that Tierney moment as well, where they were like fighting for each other, you know?
Fabulous stuff. You know me, I've been an advocate for all the youngsters. I mean, I want the new Charlie George to come, you know, Charlie, well, namesake at least, Patino, he looks amazing. I want Aziz back. I want Saliba back. I want all of those players, you know, coming on board. The new striker that scored a hat-trick the other day, or yesterday, was it? And it was a 6-0 thrashing against Chelsea when we were down to 10 men after 35 minutes. I would welcome all of those to be playing against Wimbledon on the Wednesday. I really would. I know the League Cup's where we've got to throw our hat at because we haven't got much choice this season, maybe apart from the FA Cup, but you know, we can't take that cup with anything but seriously. So I don't know whether he will do that. I can see, I mean, Xhaka. Is Xhaka eligible, by the way, for Wednesday?
Back for Tottenham game.
I think it was three games. So he can use this as one of the three. So,
Back for Tottenham. Yeah, back right in.
Let's not speak about that. No, please.
He's going to have Bonnie Tyler on, isn't he? We need a hero. He's going to have that blaring. He's got Eye of the Tiger on in the gym. He's ready.
Exactly.
The attitude I saw, I'm so, oh, just mentioned, so glad to have Gabriel back. I think he makes a massive, massive difference. He was a senior player for me in the defence. He really held it together. And then he's got Tommy with him. I think Tommy's a great player. I think it's going to, that for me is him and Gabriel have to be starters. Him and Ramsdale, those three for me have to be certs. If they're fit, fully fit, no injury worries all day long. I can't see anything but that.
Gabriel looked a man in a group of boys, didn't he?
You know what it reminded me of? How he, you know, when we first signed him and we thought, how long is it going to take him to adjust? And he just stepped in, from the off. Remember? I think it was the same game that William had his best game ever. Was it Fulham? Was that his name?
Fulham away.
And Gabriel scored as well, didn't he?
Yes. Right?
And he reminds, he's gone back to that, how he started off. And
yeah,
I think he's great.
He won the three player of the month in a row, didn't he? We didn't think anyone else would ever win it.
Yeah.
And do you know
Then he had COVID, didn't he? And it delayed, back, an injury, and he had another injury, I think.
Yeah. And I think if you look at it, you've got Tierney, you've got Gabriel, you've got Ramsdale. I think those three are all captain quality material. I'm not joking. I think Ramsdale, the way he was vocal, you see him at the end, the way he was like, come on, when the full-time whistle went. I love all that. You know me, I love all of that stuff.
Just touching on Ramsdale's sort of goalkeeping ability, James, obviously you had question marks. I had question marks. I mean, you'd watched him more than... I don't watch anything but Arsenal, so I see who's playing against us for a week, and that's it. I watch Arsenal a lot. You watch a lot more football than I do, but with Ramsdale, just from watching him with Arsenal, and what some of the attributes that you really like, it's obvious, but what some of the attributes you really like that were so concerning for me, you and Neil, for multiple months now with Leno.
I'm happy to hold my hands up and say that I got it wrong. I want to be proved wrong. You know, I've got nothing wrong. I'm not against being proved wrong at all. I was panicking because obviously, you know, you see the relegations. Okay, he was player of the season in both those teams that went down. But I just looked at it and was just like, nah, I can't see where this guy comes from. You know, what's this sign, you know, because with Leno going out, this guy looks like you're signing him to be your first choice. And for me, I was like, that's worrying that you think this guy is going to be your first choice going forward. But again, doing a bit more reading and digging, they apparently, again, looked at the old data and the analytics, and next to, I believe it was Mendy at Chelsea, he had the second most claims from high balls.
It was incredible crosses, yesterday, wasn't it?
And crosses and corners. So for me, he made three saves against Burnley. The top one being the one from corner, where he palmed it over. He done the big one. But he made four high claims from their crosses and their set pieces, which was absolutely sensational against a team like Burnley, because they love flick-ons and they love those second ball opportunities. But he completely nullified that because he comes and he claims the ball. You know, we kept our first back-to-back clean sheets in the league since January. All credit to him. It took Leno 16 games to achieve back-to-back clean sheets for Arsenal. Ramsdale's done it in two. And, you know, he's the only goalkeeper at the moment in the Premier League that started twice and not conceded a goal all season. So I can't see how this guy is going to be dropped for the Spurs game. And, like I said, I'm happy to be proved wrong. And he's got to continue as the number one for me, because he has not put a foot wrong since he's got it. No. He's done everything that he's, you know, been asked to do, and he's done it well. And Leno's played three games and conceded nine. Ramsdale's played three games and conceded none. And if you look at the nine that Leno's conceded, at least four of them he could have done better on. You know, the two against Brentford, he should have got down quicker. Okay, Chambers mucked it up big time and played him into the danger, but he should do better there at his near post. The second one, why are you letting a man ragdoll you like that? Do you think Ramsdale's going to get thrown about like that? No chance.
Like Barnes' box, isn't it?
And then the two against City, he does his usual where he punches one in. And then there was the other one with the Ferran Torres header where he started to come out and then he goes, ooh, and he backed away again. You know, I'm sorry, I don't like a goalkeeper that worries about his hair being out of place. You know, he worries that his hair's going to get messed up or he's going to get his shirt dirty or whatever. Oh, no, you're a goalkeeper. You're a goalkeeper. And, you know, we've said it when Martinez was in here, and okay, he's gone now and I don't like to keep talking about it. He likes to keep talking about us, but I don't like to keep talking about him. But the defenders were so much more confident with a guy who had presence and, like you said earlier, vocal ability. Yeah. And I mean, last season, we played seven different combinations at centre back and five different combinations at right back. And we kept saying, especially you, Neil, you were like, oh, can he just pick a a back four or a back five and stick with it, because they need to form the relationships, because it keeps chopping and changing and they can't settle. You've got a five there now that, okay, if Tierney's not crocked from when he, you know, come off and everything else, keep playing that back five until something one of them gets injured or something, one of them has an absolute calamity, because you need that consistency. And I'll tell you what, them five, based on that performance at Burnley, and okay, yeah, you know, people are going, yeah, but they were guaranteed to go down. Doesn't matter. You can only beat what's in front of you. Based on that Burnley performance, all of that back five, I thought, were incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Can I just say absolutely quickly one more thing on Ramsdale? I think his distribution is good as well.
Fantastic. Long and short. Long and short.
Do you know what? Yeah. We just touching on Martinez, I think we found already replaced him. I think Ramsdale might even be better than Martinez.
This is the thing, Neil. This is the thing, Neil. I'm just watching a great ball on the 50th minute that he just pinged out to Aubameyang. Aubameyang does nothing with it again. But this is the thing, Neil. When people go on and we got comments about, you know, will you stop mentioning, you know, I said, I'll stop mentioning him when we've got a goalkeeper that comes in and does a job like he did leading towards the cup final. I won't be mentioning him if performances like this continue. And he's, like you said, his distributions, he just knows he's going to make a mistake. But the point is,
of course,
he'll learn from it. And he's so much more comfortable on the ball that Lelelo is. He's so much more commanding of his box. Those balls that came over to him, some of them were really hard claims. Leno, I'm not even sure he gets to him. If he does get to him, he's flapping biscuit hands at it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the difference.
It's like I said, Jack, the guy punches. And I'm telling you, if he was in goal on Saturday, he's doing that and he's either missing it and Barnes or Wood are headering it into the goal, or he's doing that. One of their big players like Westwood, me or Tarkowski is heading in a second ball and then someone else is getting a knock on, like I said.
Yep.
And I mean, that's the same that we need on Sunday as well, because they've got big boys Spurs.
They're
going to go for them second balls and everything else like that. So you play Ramsdale. I wouldn't care if Leno played on Wednesday. But I don't want him to play on Sunday. I don't want him to play on Sunday.
He should play on Wednesday, probably. I mean, unless you want to give Cole Hine or a Conqueror,
Do you know, I know we keep going on. I'm so excited about Ramsdale. I really think he's one of the shining lights. I know it's early days, but he actually, it gives the impression that he's so happy to be at our club.
Mm.
He really wants to be there. You see what he did at the end with that kid with the shirt.
Mm.
He's just so thrilled. His emotion, his passion. And he's really getting into it. If he makes a good save or one of the defenders does something good, he go, come on. He's like really jing the players around. Mm. Do you see Leno doing any of that? Never.
No, none of it. And he's never really connected himself to the Arsenal fan base, in my eyes, Leno. He's been a really quiet character, which is fine. I think he's a bit odd for a goalkeeper. All of our top goalkeepers, in my eyes, I've had a personality about him, right? Your layman's, right? Even Chesney was turned into a great goalkeeper. Had a real personality about him, you know, maybe a little bit overboard, but you know, you'd rather that with a goalkeeper. Yeah. You want him to be.
Meninga was a nutcase.
Absolute mentalist, right? They're all mental, right? But that's what you do want, a little bit of that. And Ramsdale, you know, but he's got that huge, like you said, enthusiasm for the game. And you know what? The biggest thing that was a sign to me that Leno wasn't up to it was when Luis returned from injury at the start of last season and they were just arguing game in, game out for about half a dozen games, to the point where Luis kind of gave up on it and realised, you know, he couldn't do that. But that was just proof to me that, you know, there was absolutely nothing there from this goalkeeper. You want to feel sure. You want to feel confident in your keeper. And it makes such a huge difference to your defensive solidity. And we were under some decent pressure in that last 30 minutes. And you know, he was a huge part of why we got out of it. Tomiyasu, who Neil was just touching on, that is the first ever signing that I've ever called before we were even linked to him. And I didn't call it. I just called, we probably should do this, because it is, and Arteta is going to die on these signings for sure, I think. Or he's going to flipping be a amazing success, because these are mostly all literally his signings. And Tomiyasu just reeks of being an Arteta signing. We don't know a lot. We moan about not knowing the way Arteta wants to play, what's his best formation, how does he want to attack. The one thing we can say with Mikel Arteta is he absolutely loves hybrid players. There is not a question in it. He loves players that can play in multiple positions. Smith Rowe, Saka, Tierney. He loves it. They can play in different systems, centre-back, left-back, Tierney. And that is why when I looked up Tomiyasu, I was like, this is a really tall bloke. He loves height.
Loves stature.
He's bow-footed, which is unheard of for a fullback generally, like truly bow-footed. And he can play anywhere in the back line. And he literally lives to defend. Like, he does not lose a one-on-one duel. Someone's running at him, he just doesn't lose it. I think he won every duel, every one-on-one take-on. He won every one of them. He doesn't want to run forward. He doesn't want to do too much. He just wants to win his battles. And that is it. And he'll go home happy.
Said before the game, McNeil, I think, is one of the most underrated wingers in the league. I mean, if Burnley go down, clubs are going to be looking at him because he's a tidy. No worry whatsoever.
No.
And I mean, it's second game in. Like you said, the guy got off the plane and he's thrown in straight away. He's got no, you know, I don't know if it's the element of no fear or whatever, but I mean, it's very rare you get someone that comes from Italy and they can't defend. You know, it's a defensive league, let's be brutally honest. But yeah, he's been sensational.
Yeah.
I absolutely love him. And I said the other week, and I think it's a big call, but how Monreal on the left used to always drop you a 7 or 8. And then after he left, we were like, oh, do you know what? I really miss him because he just done his job. Tomiyasu seems like the right-sided version of Monreal. We're just going to keep going. Oh, he's a solid 7 or 8 before the game even begins. He just does his job.
Absolutely. And his attention to really small details. Like, I was watching, I've rewatched the game a couple of times now, but even just little things like not letting a speculative cross get in. Like, where we would stand off Chambers, Cedric would just stand off that. He's 30 yards out. He literally does not, 100% on absolutely smallest of details, makes an absolute huge difference when you're defending. And I think he'll set a standard for that defense to be like every little thing, every little bow, every header, no matter where everything matters. And he's really unique. I mean, he's really unique to have a 6'2" right back that can also play centre back. It is. And to be that agile, it's really hard to find. It's really, really hard to find. So, like you said, early days. But last player I want to touch on before I go to the predictions on the midweek is Pepe, actually. So, Neil, he's got really sort of like two sides to him. I think Pepe is the only way I can describe him at the moment is almost like a poor man's Alexis. Like, he's like... he's really necessary because he's really, if we create anything, it typically comes from somewhere where Pepe's been involved. But his final product is just not quite there, whereas Alexis's was, right? He'd lose the ball a lot, Alexis. He'd annoy you, but he'd score a couple and he'd always turn up. But I feel like the way our attack is, you know, we're lacking productivity, but like he almost has to start in the front four almost all the time, Neil. I just wonder, I mean, another player that's hit by his price tag, and I don't think he'll ever probably sort of meet up to it. Just wonder what your thoughts are on Pepe, because it really is a kind of make or break season for him, I feel like.
I thought he started having a good spell, didn't he? We thought, all right, he's finally started to hit the road here. But yeah, I agree. I think he's one of those players where you can expect so much from him and he can do so much with the ball. I just think he does that extra one thing too much with the ball. So he'll be on his man and they're trying to defend and he will just evade them and maybe two or three players sometimes. And then you think, right, that's it. Now do the simple thing. And he doesn't. And he still wants to carry on doing a little bit of, I almost call it showboating with him in a way. It's just too much. And he's got to cut that out of his game and he's got to almost try and marry that up with almost the simple things. And if you can get that combo right, I think we'll start seeing a bit more productivity from him. But I still say, again, you guys might say, what are you talking about? I prefer him on the left. He plays too much on the right. I think I've seen him play. for me, every time he's on the left, he's more consistent than he's on the right. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just feel he's more balanced. And I think the team has a bit of a better balance when he's on the left-hand side. Now, I know that's not going to happen too often. He's been brought into play on the right-hand side, and fair enough, but that's just my opinion. But I just think that he just has to cut that little bit of extra showmanship out. It's just turns it a little bit too much for me. He carries that too far, and that's what then kills the move. It completely kills the move, because then it's all over. There's no question he can score. He scored some blinding goals. He does prefer that one on the right-hand side where he kind of puts it onto his left foot, and then it's such a classic Pepe strike, and he can do that very well. And he's done that on a few occasions, but you just need to see more of him. But we can't just single him out. It's all the attackers, isn't it? We're not scoring. You can't just say, oh, look, Pepe, he's 72 million, and what's what we got for it? Well, what's the other players doing? It's just the whole thing. We've got to see more creativity and more service, and then you'll see the fruition at the front. But I just think that Pepe's just got to just hone in a little bit with that trying too hard. Just trying too hard, doing too much.
The chances we're creating, Neil, all we ever see is the front of the shirt and the player's face. I want to see the number. I want to see the shirt number and the back of their head. I want to see them facing that, you know, that way to goal, not as in bringing it down and everything else, because we don't have a link play player up top.
No.
We don't. You know, it's touching back on what we were saying earlier. So let's just create a bit more chances. And, I mean, Odegaard will, like we said earlier, Smith Rowe. Yeah. And there was another one from Smith Rowe in the second half. And again, it's like we said, he keeps trying to place them all the time. And I wish he'd just put his laces through. You know, I wish he'd do a bit more of a Shearer and just blast one.
Did do it once in the game yesterday. But went over the bar from across. Yeah. I don't know who it was from, but you're right. He does. He just tries to.
Yeah. He had that one against Spurs last season, didn't he? Where it rifled
hit
the bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, go back to, I'm like, you know, crack a few, you know, he's not like Party where we're all stood there trying to catch the ball or it hits me in my head where I live. But, you know, have a bit more of a chance, you know.
Why do we do that? We become so identified. I know because Wenger instilled that in us, that he wants the perfect goal, and we did it with Wenger. It worked because he had the personnel to do it. But why is it that we always try and walk the ball into the net? There's times where you just want them to have a shot. Ray Parlour used to do it. He would. I mean, all right, he didn't score all the time, but he'd have a pop at the net. Sometimes it pays off, because sometimes even if it doesn't go in, it might somewhat ricochet and you might then get a lucky, you know, ball come to your feet. It's just like, I know it's not attractive, but now and again, if we do that, it makes the defenders think that shit, it gets them on their back foot a little bit, thinking they're not going to just try and do some fancy football. They might have a pop here. Let's try and, you know, it can lead to something else. We just don't do enough of that, I don't think. It's always trying to play the fancy football, and it's not working at the moment, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to be, much more clinical in the final third and more serious, really. I think we need to be more serious in the final third and realise how important it is.
It's testament to what Arteta's been like the whole time he's been here, in that he can get the defence to work magnificently, but it's at the expense of the attack. And I just, you know, obviously I still think his position's quite under threat, but it would be nice that before he does go or whatever, that he can have a time where his whole team is in symmetry, you know, the defence and the attack are all working to a level that we all go, okay, this is good now. You know, well, I can see what you've wanted and everything else, but, you know, the attack wins your games and the defence, they say, wins your leagues. We're not going to win the league this year, but like I said earlier, keep that back five in and then get these guys scoring. And who knows, you know?
Yeah.
I think considering where we were, to be anywhere between sixth and eighth at the end is, you know, it's not what I want for Arsenal, but I think that's quite impressive considering where we were.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think for Arteta, he has to get us back into Europe this season. I think for him, anything less than that, I thought it was failure last season, so it's definitely failure this season after spending another 140 million.
It's even worse. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think
We've always been, you know, I think that's relatively realistic. I think it was last season too, as well, to be honest. Some managers would kill to have the attacking talent that we've got at their disposal, right? Really, really like prefer options. So he has to get the best out of it now. He just has, and when the whole attack isn't firing, you look back to the man. If it's one individual, okay, but you look back at the manager when the whole attack isn't firing, the whole team isn't scoring, the whole team isn't creating enough clear-cut chances, you have to look at the manager. That's where it's coming from. In midweek there, we've got and it is an important game because we're only in three competitions, so every game is important. Though I do think he'll rotate. I think he will rotate relatively heavily. Who are you looking forward to seeing in midweek? I've had a little sort of a theory on who the team might be. You want to hear my predicted lineup?
Go on then.
My predicted lineup, because my dad's going to the game and he said, who's going to play? I don't know who's going to play. I said, my expected rough team, though it would put us maybe into a back five, but I just kind of listed 11 players. I've said Leno, Cedric Holman, Mari, Chambers, Tavares, Lokonga, Niles, though I put brackets, maybe Patino gets in there, Martinelli, Balogun, Laka. That's what sort of what I was thinking. So, I agree obviously, I'm very excited to see Charlie Patino, who's been rave reviews. I mean, in the under-23s.
I would like to see Xhaka because I don't want him playing on Sunday.
No, he can't. He's still suspended.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah, keep forgetting. Shit.
Otherwise, I take your point. It would be quite funny in a way. I'd be a bit worried about seeing Leno. Like, he's going to throw the ball into his own net. He's upset. But it would be quite funny to see him in a League Cup game just to be like, here you go, mate. I'm frustrated by him, to be honest, by his attitude. So
very,
But
I would love to see Leno, because then that means surely he's not going to be playing against Spurs.
Yeah,
probably. You know, with Arteta, you never know. But no, I agree with that. I want to see Martinelli, Balogun. I really am fearing for Martinelli. I not so much Balogun at the moment, but Martinelli was something so special, and I just don't know what's happened to him. And I don't know whether that's down to the manager or not. And I really need to see him, what we saw of him when he first came on and when he just, you know, gave us so much kind of excitement to what he could become. And I remember when he first came on the stage, Klopp was all over him. He wanted to sign him. He saw things in him which most Arsenal fans do. And I feel maybe it's not Arteta, but I feel like he's been curtailed somewhat. And I don't like it, because I think he's got all the attributes to become a phenomenal player. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose him. And that's my biggest fear. The same way that I call it the Gnabry effect, we could potentially lose him. And I'd hate to see him go to a rival and then start banging in 25, 30 goals a season. I would hate it. So we need to nurture him. We've got to get him back on track as fast as we can. And I don't know how that works and what it looks like. But yeah, so for me, I'd love to see that. Martinelli, Balogun's. I would like to see this Charlie Patino. I really would.
Looks like a young Jack Wilshere.
Yeah, he does. So I wouldn't mind seeing. Hopefully he'll come on. Maybe he'll be on the bench and he'll come on if we're doing well, maybe. I can't see anything but a win. I think we'll win on Wednesday. And I think we'll win quite comfortably. I think it'll be a 3 or 4 nil.
Okay. Going on to the derby. Obviously, they've had a couple of terrible weeks, James. But you know, they obviously started very well with 3-1-0 victories. Though they were very lucky in a few of those games. I watched some of those games of Tottenham. And what's your thoughts, James? Do you see him? Obviously, the biggest question probably with the lineup would be, does Xhaka come back in or not? I think probably the rest of it picks itself, if you like, or, you know, who does Xhaka come in for could be the question, but you'd probably take out one of Odegaard or Smith Rowe, you'd presume, at that point, if he's going to kind of stick to a 4-2-3-1 or whatever. So do you think he comes, or do you think Arteta, because I guess our opinion doesn't really matter at this point, but and it's a massive game. I mean, we can go level on points with them, and we can really sort of, you know, not turn around what happened in the first three games, but show. It's a huge marker to make, really, for this manager. Massive, considering the start of the season we had. He knows how big this game is. He's played in these games. I think we've got to win it, James.
Yeah, I mean, people are going, oh, it's the best time to play them. You know, look how bad they've been. All form goes out the window for a North London derby. Don't
Yeah,
don't buy into any of that. I think if he does bring Granit Xhaka back and he brings Leno back, all the good sort of time that he's bought himself from these two games, he just throws it away again. Because if anything goes wrong, you know, if Leno flaps and punches it into his own net on Sunday and we lose, the first thing everybody's going to say is, why did you change the goalkeeper? You know, why have you changed the side that's winning? Why have you done that? What's your problem? You know, why have you brought Granit Xhaka back? So I can't see, if everybody is, you know, fit, like I said, you know, if Partey's not, you know, injured, and if Tierney's not injured, keep it exactly the same as what you did against Burnley. Exactly the same. Even though Aubameyang at the moment isn't what we want, I wouldn't change that either. I'd stick with it. And then if it doesn't go right, Lacazette after about 55 minutes. Because I don't think Aubameyang would really care if he got hooked at the moment, the way he's, you know, the way he's sort of playing. I don't think he really cares, regardless of what's going on. So,
yeah. In a big performance from him.
Yeah. And, He owes us one for, you know, like I said, I hope his alarm clock set 2 hours before he needs to be there, because I don't want him being late.
Yeah, massive game. I don't think he'll change the goalkeeper. I'd be stunned. But the Xhaka one, I think, is a very 50-50 call. They are quite a defensive. They have quite a defensive setup. They don't create a lot, but obviously they've got.
They got really excited when they got him in. I think it was because they were just elated that someone actually wanted to manage them.
Someone actually took the job.
They were talking about how much more exciting the football's getting. I'm like, this guy's a disciple of the man that you sacked.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't think he got excited, you know.
No, he is. He is. Yeah. He absolutely is. And
He's not what you think he is.
No, not at all. But again, like you say, form goes out the window. I know Kane's been having a kind of start of season that you know, our strikers have, but you know, he turns up for these games.
But no, you said to Neil about Wednesday, I don't know if this Amari Hutchinson who plays on the wing's gonna play, but I've heard about him quite a bit as well. So I don't know if he's gonna play out wide, but
maybe I'd be all quite in the squad.
I'd be quite interested to see what he's going to do.
What's your predictions for that and Tottenham, James, before I go back to Neil for the Tottenham prediction?
I think the same as Neil, maybe 3 or 4-0 midweek. And then Sunday, I'm going to go 2-1 us. I'll go 2-1 us. Cool. And I'll say Smith. Let's go Smith Rowe on Sunday.
Lovely jubbly.
And then Wednesday, first scorer. I'm trying to think who play. I'll go Lokonga. Yeah, I like Lokonga. Let's go Lokonga.
Boom. Smashed it 30 yards. Teaching party, how it's done. Neil, what's your prediction for Sunday? Sunday's game against Tottenham.
I kind of agree with James, but I'll be put my Neil hat on again. Neil hat. And say 3-0, because then we will go above them in the table, and that will be brilliant.
I think two after, does it.
Oh,
two
does it. Oh, is it? Oh, well, two. Well, three, just to rub it in there, you know, rub the salt in the wound.
That'll
be fantastic for me, because all that thing about, oh, look at us top of the league after three games and you're rock bottom. Yeah. Now look at you, squats.
3-0.
3-0. I mean, yeah, that's my heart. My head says 2-1, but 3-0 my heart. So I agree with James on 2-1. And I reckon it's going to be a defender that scores our first goal. And I think I'm going to say either Gabriel or Tommy.
Gabriel or Tommy, yeah. Gabriel's got bullet header on him. So definitely possibly. Remember that one in Europa League? Unbelievable header, wasn't it? Took player right out as well. Okay, interesting. That means we've got to have 3 shots on target, Neil. I don't know if you've been looking at our stats. But okay, I'll go. It's going to be a really tough game, but I'll go 1-0. I'll go 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Okay. Who's scoring?
Party.
Were you saying midweek? What you reckon midweek?
Midweek, I don't know enough about AFC Wimbledon. I saw some scripts on their manager who was talking quite impressively. So I'll go 2-0
2-0 midweek. And it is an important game. It really is. I mean, League Cup before, you know, we kind of thought of it as a sort of, you know, under Wenger, of course, it was a great opportunity to see young kids. And I don't think we're really at that point, and nor should we be when you're out of Europe, I think. I think we have to mitigate it a little bit where we're playing some of the fringe players that just aren't going to get game time.
There's nothing else till January. So, you know, I'm not saying completely go all kids again. But like you said, I expect a Cedric. I expect a Chambers, maybe a holding. Tavares, definitely. I mean, when he come on, when he was blitzing through and he had that shot, I thought, oh, keep going. When he was running, I got excited. I thought, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah, yeah, I like him.
Should have just laid it off at that point. Yeah. It would have been fantastic.
For a person that kisses signings. Dogs on the lips.
He's all right.
Yeah, no, they just show so much enthusiasm and confidence, those. Especially four of them, Tavares, Simba, Ramsdale, and Tommy. All of them very similar.
Well, you know what? If Tierney and Partey can't finish 90 minutes ever, we are going to need Lokonga and Tavares much more than we many would think. It's a bit worrying. I know certainly for Partey, he's just coming back, so maybe they're managing his minutes. But Tierney, this is a long-standing thing with Tierney. I mean, he pulls up quite a lot in games with a little tightness and cramping. And there's not really, I mean, Partey's just come back, first start, you know, understandable. He's not had a lot of injury history throughout his career until he came to Arsenal. But Tierney is notoriously kind of, you know, popping off and out of games quite a lot. His history isn't great. So we are going to need Tavares maybe more than we thought. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts half a dozen games in the league this season. I really wouldn't.
So, do you know, given that, it might be worth experimenting and maybe starting with, is it Tavares? Pronounce his name Tavares, is it?
I'd say Tavares, but James has found a G in there.
When he done his interview, he said his name is Nuno Tavares. But
Tavares, okay.
You know how people from our neck of the woods would say it's Tavares.
Tavares.
Yeah.
It sounds like a tennis player, yeah. Tavares.
Like the group, you know, Heaven's Missing an Angel and all the other classics from Tavares, you know.
Yeah.
Classics, mate. The Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, they're banger.
Yeah, he's got it's got a good profile, though. I mean, that's what I like about, you know, we're buying these fullbacks like Cedric and, you know, I mean, Chambers and stuff, you know, and they don't really have the right profile. They're not agile. They've not got the athleticism that we need from a fullback position, which is such a massive position, especially under Arteta, you know, in terms of the amount of work. But just to start with, obviously he's a little bit raw, but he has a lot of those qualities.
Yeah, but right? like Neil said earlier, we you know, you want someone who's going to have a pop from outside the box. He had a crack. He you know, he didn't have no fear.
Scored a lovely one in pre-season as well, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, with his weaker foot as well.
Yeah. And again, he's got the height because Mikel Arteta wants to be the tallest team in the league.
Yep.
It's been the tallest team in the league. Absolutely.
I don't know if it's worth trying.
That's the real quiz.
If Tierney is breaking down or not able to stay in a full game, you're not going to agree with me. I know you're not. But what about starting with Tavares and bringing Tierney on as an impact sub later on in the game? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, there's a lot of people that are saying if Tierney's going to keep doing what he's doing, then you need to play Tavares. I've seen that a lot.
You can't in big games have players going down with cramp in the 60th minute every week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from Celtic, I pay quite a lot of attention to. You know, we've got Bernadette who listens in. She, you know, she's there. She pays a lot of attention to him as well. But I remember there was someone who was quite prolific that writes a lot about Celtic. And he said at the time, 25 million from Tier, we're going to laugh because we've played this guy into the ground. There were times where he was begging not to play and they went, no, you're playing. Get the injection. You're in. And he said that we've robbed Arsenal getting that amount of money for him because he's not fit enough.
He's got an incredible amount of games in his legs. I haven't looked at the numbers, but it must be up there for someone of his age because, I mean, he played unbelievable amounts, didn't he, for Celtic?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, for a very young player, and we're saying he's one of our leaders now, but to be a leader, you've got to be
you know, you've got to be present. So same with Partey. You've got to be present. You know, Partey, I thought he was, again, terrific, you know, being that one man in midfield. But you've got to be present. There was too many times last season that Partey would come off early. I remember, like, Villa away and you know, and obviously he was suffering with stuff, but we need him to be fit. That's basically it. And now he's got one game a week.
I've changed my opinion. It's going to be Ramsdale captain now. Locked in, you know. Like going
I was really impressed with Gabriel.
Switched to Gabriel again. Yeah.
Gabriel was, but they were saying that Gabriel picked up the language like really quite quickly as well. And he just seems so much more vocal than he was last year. Yeah. You know, he's walked in. Obviously, because he had Luis beside him, right? So there wasn't really that need for him. But really, yesterday, I was really impressed, Bob, with how he was sort of like ushering the back line and you know, I think he is that leader. He is that leader of that back line, to be honest. It's not Ben. I mean, Ben White, again, he's coming into a new team. He's not used to playing in a back four, big price tag. He's got enough to think about, you know. So
he hasn't come out of his shell yet for me. He hasn't come out of his shell. Well, once he does that, I think he will be all right.
Yeah, and you can't ask any player to be a leader when they've just arrived at a team, unless it's someone like a, you know, like a Luis, like someone that's got been around the block a few times, 33, 34 coming into the team. Thiago at Chelsea, for example, he'll come into that back line and be a leader because he's 36 years old. But I don't think you can ask that. You need someone that's there. It's like Odegaard, you feel he can be a bit of a leader now because he's already been here for a little bit and it's early, but you know, that's kind of where we're at with him.
He was a leader with that free kick. He told Partey and Aubameyang, that's mine.
Well, yeah, too, right. He should.
But they were both stood there. He went, no.
I remember.
I remember when he first come in, I think it was the first Benfica game away. He's telling the party, stand back there. What are you doing coming into my area? Stay back where you are and feed me the ball. You know, he had the command when he's even just a lone E to tell, you know, tell them what they're doing and everything. And another thing as well is I would put Odegaard on the corners. I'll just there. You know, love Pepe to bits, but your corners are shocking, my friend.
I'll tell you why you should do that. Pepe is underrated in the air. He is underrated in the air.
He's not bad in the air.
Like, I reckon about three or four times Ramsdale purposely picked him out because he knew Pepe was going to win the aerial. And then Odegaard, in all fairness to him, he's not going to win a header, is he? So get him out there. Get him out there. Put him on the corners. He'll pick someone out. It's like when you used to put Santi Cazorla on him. He's not going to win a header, is he? Plus, he can take him with both feet. Fantastic stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Well, boys, it was a good end to it. We will be back. We're going to try and be regular now because, James finally got a different schedule. Lazy. So now he's back. And hopefully, if we're winning, me and Neil might have the motivation to wake up and talk about it. So basically, that's where we're at with it. Obviously,
we've got to get Michael back on.
Yeah, we've got to get Michael and Andy back on.
I feel terrible with Mike because I can't. I have to do it this time, and I know he's got, you know, three kids biting his ankles at this time and stuff. So
if you can't make it, that we could do it, Jack.
Yeah,
with Michael on.
I want you to do that. Yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely do that. And I know you and Mike want to be guests, so James would be the host. I was actually going to say that the other day. This is live on air, so this is good. But you know, I would do that. I genuinely would. I think
watch the viewership figures go down.
but we'll be regular. So
yeah, that's true.
That's what I said earlier, James.
What
we need
consistency.
Mike Arteta
needs to consistently play this back five.
Yeah, if the team's going to only play once a week, then we can turn up once a
week.
You
only pod when you're winning. Pod when you win.
That's true, actually. That's genuinely true. It's horrible, isn't it, when you lost. You just don't want to. We do the odd one when we've lost. But yeah, absolutely. Because you boys are obviously all in the same time zone. I do not need to be at it. You just need to basically know how to record and send me the converted recording. But I think James knows how to do that stuff, probably.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. It's easy.
There you go. So perfect. Yeah, so we'll chat to our
If you want it edited, but I can record and send.
Know what we need to do, though, is get, we need, when we're up on YouTube, we need to get something that says, you know, purely Arsenal and our names on it. Maybe Anthony could hook us up for that. because, you know, we need a bit of red in the old background. That's not your headphones. But all right, boys, we'll be back next week. Thank you. Have a good week of work or chilling or whatever you're doing, and build up to the big one on Wednesday and then Sunday.
One at a time.
One at a time.
Come on, you Arsenal.
Hold on, let me stop this recording. Here we go.